Hi, this is a dictation for Kimberly Low, KimberlyLow. And the KimberlyLow is a new patient visit. Date of visit is 1/27/2025. Date of birth is 10/31/1973. Date of accident 8/6/2024. This is a new patient visit. Chief complaints are as follows: severe pain in the neck, mid back, and lower back, with radiation to the right arm, front and back, involving second, third, and fourth finger, with motor weakness. Pain in both shoulders, with a tune of 9, with the ability to lift the shoulder up to 90 degrees of abduction. Pain in both the knees. Pain is 9, and difficulty in walking. Patient also has a difficult time sitting, standing, and doing ADLs. Sleep is affected. Patient attributes all of the symptoms to an automobile accident that happened on 8/6/2024. The details of the accident are as follows. In the morning time, patient was traveling as an Uber driver on 8/6/2024. He was driving a rental car called Chevy Malibu. And she had a passenger also with her, whom she was dropping. She was traveling on Davison Highway on I-75 and near I-75 and Lodge. She was going on Davison Highway westbound. At almost, she stopped as the car in front stopped, and she also stopped. Suddenly, another car from behind hit her car in a rear-ending fashion at 55 miles an hour, almost. The impact caused airbag did not deploy, but she was wearing seat belts. There was no loss of consciousness. It was not a hit-and-run accident. The police did arrive at the scene. Police report was filed. Ambulance arrived at the scene and took the patient to Henry Ford Hospital, Fairlane. The impact caused the front tire to be damaged. Although nothing inside was damaged, the headrest, console, dashboard, steering wheel were all intact. But car was not drivable. The front tires were damaged completely. The car was towed off the freeway, and then she do not know the status of the car at this time, whether it was totaled or not. The pictures of the car are not with her. We have requested her to send the pictures. Regarding the injuries, patient report that no one died, and the patient says the seatbelt helped her from having extreme injuries. She jerked front and back. Her head hit into the steering wheel, top part of it. Chest hit into the steering wheel, knees to the dashboard, and a neck whiplash due to the seatbelt, where she hit into the headrest. And that is all she remembers. She was taken to the Henry Ford Hospital, where she was there for around 12 hours. X-rays were done. CT scan was done. X-ray of the shoulder and spine was done. Patient was discharged. Metoprolol injection was given. Medications were given. Since then, patient has seen Dr. Redden, and she was referred to him by an attorney who is a spine physician for management. She also saw an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Koziar, K-O-Z-I-A-R, who is an orthopedic surgeon who provided shots to both the shoulders with PRP and steroid and has not improved. The knees could not be done, so she canceled the appointment with them. She also saw Dr. Talai T. Laitam, A-L-A-I, D-E-R-A-N-I, MD for 5 visits. So far, she has done chiropractic treatment. She has done tense unit, physical therapy, also massage. She has done medications, but no epidural injections and no surgery yet. She was referred by Dr. Redden. She is undergoing treatment with Dr. Ray Chumi, R-A-Y-C-H-O-U-M-I, for physical therapy and chiropractic treatment. History of presenting illness. Patient is suffering from moderately severe headaches. Since the time of accident, there are 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. They come and go, and they are affecting the front of the head. They are moderately severe, and they are off and on. Sensitive to light, sensitive to the noise, associated with nausea, but they are not associated with any vomiting, seizures, or aura. And additional symptoms of TBI. Patient is suffering from dizziness, loss of balance, loss of memory, forgetfulness, being in the bed, and sparse in the vision. There's no issues with the taste or smell, and no blurred vision, loss of vision field. There is no ringing in the ear, no loss of consciousness or seizures, denies any vertigo, loss of equilibrium, denies any confusion, disorientation. However, the patient has some weakness. She reports the numbness and tingling of the right arm, front and back, shooting pain, and moderate weakness, and fatigue. She reports some incontinence of the urine and sleep disturbance, and anxiety. She says she can walk up to a block, and she can sit up to 30 minutes, but it's become painful. She has to keep changing position, and she cannot stand more than 10 minutes. Please review the records for the history and the modified factors, and as well as the system review, surgical history, family history, employment history, personal history, legal history, as well as the ADLs. In short, the patient has pain in the neck, mid-back, lower back to the tune of 8. Both shoulders pain is 9, with difficult time lifting beyond 90 degrees of abduction and forward flexion, and weakness of the right arm, numbness and tingling of the right arm, front and back, as well as numbness of second, third, and fourth finger. Pain in both the knees is 9. These pains are described as throbbing, shooting, stabbing, sharp, heart burning, aching, and tender. And they are varying from 3 to 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. Usually they are 7 to 8, and ADLs are affected 7. Modified factor for the pain. Pain is worsened by sitting, bending, coughing, standing, walking, and improved by medication and lying down. So far, X-rays, MRIs, and CT scan have been done. She has brought all the MRIs for all the affected areas. They will be reported later. She reports of muscle weakness and weakness of the right arm, motor weakness, along with numbness, tingling of the second, third, fourth fingers. Shooting pain from the neck down to the right arm is reported by the patient. Physical examination reveals the following. Blood pressure of 166 over 128. Pulse 96, pulse ox 100, temperature 97.9. The height is 5'8", and the weight is 220. This is a 51-year-old African-American female of a good built, nutrition, obese, alert-oriented, cooperative, and conscious, no sinuses, jaundice, or clubbing, colonicia. Well-built, well-nourished, hydration is good. No acute distress, shortness of breath, or severe pain phases are noticed. No severe anxiety or lethargy is noticed. Patient has a good attitude, demeanor, and dress and hygiene is normal. The patient is able to walk well with some limping and some antalgic gait, but she is not using any adaptive devices like cane or rollator walker. Rest of the exam come from the template, including neurological examination, which is completely normal. Musculature examination is also completely normal. And in the musculoskeletal examination, inspection palpation is normal. Spine tenderness is noticed at the following area. In C567, T3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 spine and lumbar spine, L1 to L5 and S1 and bilateral SI joints are all tender. Paravertebral muscle spasm is noticed from neck down to the all the way to the lumbar spine from C2 to L5 and S1 with the multiple trigger points. Some spasm in the quadratus lumborum is noticed bilaterally at the bottom, and hypertonicity of 2 plus is noticed. Range of motion for the cervical spine is as follows. Cervical spine range of motions are limited to as follows. Forward flexion is 30. Extension is 30. Side flexion is 30. Bilateral rotation is 40. In the lumbar spine, forward flexion is 30. Extension is 10. Bilateral side flexion is 15. Bilateral rotation is 15. Maneuvers to identify reproduce the pain are as follows. Hoffman sign was negative. Sperling sign is positive. Lermit test is positive. Distraction test is negative. Rotor test is negative. The thoracic spine, Roos test, slump test is negative. Lumbar spine, Budzewski-Kernick test is negative. Straight leg raising test is positive, 30 degrees bilaterally. Cross leg raise test positive bilaterally. Kemp test positive. Berger test negative. Budzewski sign negative. SI joint, bilateral SI joints are tender and positive for Faber test and Gosselin test. Standing flexion test is positive. Iliac compression test is positive. Distraction test was negative. In the extremities examination, both shoulders, both knees are affected, including the right wrist and hand. They'll be described later. Rest of the extremities, which include the left upper extremities and both hips and both ankle and feet, are found to be completely normal. No pedal edema, normal circulation, no leg length discrepancies. The quick test is negative and range of motion of unaffected joints is normal. The gait is slightly affected due to the pain in both knees. It is antalgic. Examination of both the shoulders revealed as follows. On inspection, both the shoulders appear to be normally appearing. And on palpation, no crepitations or any fractures or dislocations are noticed. Range of motions are limited to 90 degrees on active motion. Muscle strength is 4x5. Special tests are positive for Hawken Kennedy test, empty beer can test. Knee test is positive, speed test positive bilaterally, anterior posterior apprehension test positive bilaterally. Drop arm test was found negative. Hand and wrist examination on the right side reveals motor weakness 4x5, reflexes are normal, grip is slightly poor, carpal testing is positive for tingle sign, balance sign. There are no other findings, no swelling, deviation, muscle atrophy, ulcer wound fractures are noticed. Color of the skin is normal, no thin or prominence atrophy. Examination of both the knee joints reveal generalized pain in both the knees with tenderness, and, no crepitus grinding noise or heard, no popping noise. Range of motions are normal at 135. General peripatellar tenderness is noticed in the patellar intrapatellar area as well. There is no scar otherwise or eczema noticed. Collateral ligaments are intact and anterior posterior drawer is negative. Mark Morris sign, Steinman is negative. Patellar apprehension was positive. No valgus varus abnormality was noticed. Diagnosis. General V89.2. V89.2 XXT, TNS, R51, F41.1, F32.9, S06.301A, PNS, M79.2, muscles, M60.9, ligaments, M54.0, shoulders, M25.512, M25.511, M75.110, M75.30, M75.50, S43.432D. Right wrist and hand pain, M19.031, G56.01. Knees, M25.561, M25.562, M23.205. Cervical spine, M54.2, 50.20, 54.12, M53.82, M54.02, 23.4XXA. Thoracic spine, M54.09, M54.6, M51.24, M54.14, M54.08, S23.3XXA. Lumbar spine, M54.5, M51.27, M54.16, M54.42, S33.5XXA. SI joint bilateral, M46.1, M99.04, S33.5XXA. Plan of care for Lowe's Kimberly Low is as follows. It is copy and paste from the template that I have. Regarding the treatment plan, patient is provided the following treatment. The patient is provided with the order for in order for physical therapy and chiropractic treatment to continue. Patient wants to go and see the Dr. Ray Chumin, who is providing all the treatments so far, including the physical therapy, which is fine with me. And the patient feels satisfied and happy today. And the therapy should continue for the affected area, which is neck, mid-back, lower back, both shoulders, both knees. It appears that the patient already has a knee brace, back brace, neck brace, shoulder brace, tense unit, cervical pillow, and a heating pad. Medications were provided, non-narcotic naproxen 500 twice a day, a level 50 milligram at night. For sleep GAD disorder, naproxen is for anti-inflammatory effect, Flexeril 10 milligram twice a day for muscle relaxation. It was provided with the narcotic pain medication, Narco 10 over 325 every 12 hours for 15 days, 30 tablets. Non-pharmacological modalities, yes. Home exercise as planned, yes. Referral to psychiatry, yes. Fitness club, yes. Review of the available MRIs and other imaging records. We have MRIs that are available at this time to be reviewed. They are all of them are ordered by Dr. Talai, T-A-L-A-I, D-E-R-A-N-I, dated 11 September 2024. The MRI for the cervical spine shows that there is a bulging disc at C23, C34, C45, C67, and a herniated disc at C56, T7 and T1, along with severe spinal canal stenosis and compression of the spinal cord and right more than left C4 nerve root and both C5 nerve roots being compressed. Thoracic spine is affected from herniated disc of T3, 4, T4, 5, T5, 6, T7 and 8, T8 and 9, T9 and 10. In the lumbar spine, tension is affected to L2 and 3, L3, 4 and L4, 5 with an L5, S1 with bulging disc. In addition, tension has effects on the both shoulders with arthrogram that are available and issues a partial thickness articular surface tear or suppressed spinatus tendon along with tendinitis up to 50% and right-sided and also infraspinatus tendon tear and tendinosis. This is a right shoulder MRI with arthrogram. Left shoulder arthrogram and MRI shows interstitial tear of the suppressed spinatus tendon for the left shoulder as well as circumferential labral frame. The right knee MRI shows a meniscus tear as well as ACL frame, while the left knee shows knee joint effusion and suprapatellar bursitis and ACL strain and partial thickness tear. There is a bone marrow edema in the distal shaft of the femur. No fractures are noticed. Brain MRI was completely normal, except for some white matter changes that will be referred to her primary care physician and neurologist. Interventional pain procedure. Patient is being advised that she will benefit from intra-articular injection of the left shoulder as well as infraspinatus tendon injection bilaterally and bilateral intra-articular injection of both knees and bursa injection as well as pleural injection to cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spine and bilateral SI joint injections. The arrangements are being made for these procedures. The patient is already consented to. Surgical options are on hold for now. There's no emergencies. Neuropsychiatric evaluation will be done at a later date. The patient is not affected with tremendous amount of TBI. Attended care, none. Caseworker, none. Past medical records have been ordered released from previous physicians who have supplied care to her since the accident. Investigations, no new investigation is being ordered. DMEs, patient already has DMEs. Education is yes. And follow visit in 30 days. Direct contact, yes. End of dictation. Thank you.